We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back. We are at Around the Corner in Lakewood. It's the Bull and Fox Show on a rainy Thursday afternoon. Jonathan Peterlin in for Dustin today. And joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he is with us as well here at Around the Corner in Lakewood. Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, is going to spend the next hour with us. Chris, how you doing?
What's going on, guys?
It's draft day. Are you excited? I'm not that excited, to be honest with you.
What?
I'm just not that excited.
Why not?
Maybe it's because like we spent a month saying, can the Cavs get Zion? Can the Cavs get Zion? And then they didn't. I was like, eh.
So I wrote about that for today, actually, because the Cavs had the same reaction.
Yeah, sure.
The morning of the draft lottery, I got a text saying it's just got to be 1-3.
Yeah.
As long as we're 1-3,
right,
we're fine. I don't demand Zion. I don't demand number 2. Just stay 1-3. And then they get number 5, and then you could see the shot of assistant GM Mike Gansey in the room where the Pelicans are celebrating, and he's just like, oh, man, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So that's how they were feeling at the time, but as they've gone through this process and they've started to really dig into these guys and get to know these guys and rank these guys, there's actually a level of excitement and eagerness around what they can accomplish tonight with 5 and 26.
Let me ask you this. So let's start with 5 here before we talk about trades and stuff like that. So I said before, now I'm no NBA draft expert. Unlike most people on the radio, I don't pretend to be a phony and pretend to be a draft expert.
I'm the guy that pretends to be a phony and tries to be the draft expert.
At least you can admit it. That's fine.
But I listen to people that I trust and that know this.
All right.
And what I do know is that DeAndre Hunter is a great defensive player. Is that fair?
Yes.
And I believe it is easier to develop an offensive game. And not that he's a bad offensive player, but I think it's easier to develop an offensive game than it – like, guys that come in – mm-hmm. and already play good defense, that's not that common.
Right.
There's plenty of guys that come in and can score.
Yep.
There's not a lot of guys that come into the NBA and can play a high-level defense.
Well, Chris, my argument back on this is that if you're picking at number 5 overall, I'm not picking someone that's a defensive specialist just for that.
I
like Hunter beyond that. I think he's a complete NBA player. That's why why I'm interested in what he can do. Personally, I like Darius Garland best at number 5 because I'm the boomer bust guy, and I just love his playmaking ability and everything around that. But if you're picking at 5, don't pick because the defense is
not
what you want the most.
Not just because of defense, but it's a special talent he has. And you develop his offensive game, which is already pretty good, and he played well in the championship game, and you develop the rest of it. I think you come in with the advantage of the defense, and he could be a good offensive player as well, where some of these other guys are never going to be good defenders. What's your take on all of this?
So I think, truthfully, that's kind of the way that the Cavs are looking at DeAndre Hunter. I think a lot of people feel like he is more safe, and this is a draft with so many different questions where you're banking on so many different things with so many different prospects that having that security with DeAndre where you feel like you know what he is, you know that you can put him in the lineup opening night and he can guard 1-4. He can knock down a shot if he's spotting up. Like, that's compelling, I think. Especially when you're talking about Cam Reddish, it's all banking on potential.
Right.
Darius Garland is all banking on potential, and there's very few data points involved with somebody like Garland. So I think the Cavs like DeAndre from the standpoint of what you said, Bull, and I think they feel like out of the system – where he was in Virginia, it was a slowdown system. They didn't let him do a lot of things because it was all Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy and some of those other guys. Out of that system, I think the Cavs feel like there's more to grab from him offensively than what he showed. So they're asking, okay, is it a case that he can't be a very good offensive player, or was it a case where he wasn't allowed to show those things?
It's interesting because I look at – like part of the reason why I like Darius Garland is something you kind of hinted to with Hunter, and this is why I wouldn't be upset with Hunter. You have been one that has been very really just complimentary of the Cavs in general as far as their ability, or at least their perceived ability, to develop players and their confidence – and being able to develop players. And that's why I like Garland, and that's why I like Hunter, because between the two of them, if you end up with either or, it gives Beeline a good base, and then it also gives the guys in the Cavs that know that they can develop these guys. It almost says, okay, here's your chance, prove it, show me how you make someone as well as you turned Colin Sexton into the player he is today as well.
Right, and I think that's something that the Cavs feel like they have on their side. And I think that gives them confidence with whoever they go with the number 5 pick and number 26, that it's not just draft the guy and then, okay, go on your merry way, right? It's draft and develop. It's a whole process. And I think the Cavs believe in J.B. Bickerstaff, John Beeline, and Lindsey Gottlieb, and all the other people that are going to be involved. According to my sources, they're keeping the player development staff from last year, because the player development staff did such a good job with Colin Sexton and with Jetty Osman and Larry Nance Jr., who had a career year. So the belief in those guys is probably going to be something that the Cavs take into account when it comes to who they take tonight.
So you obviously trust Kobe Altman more than I do, which is fine. Okay. Let's say you're right.
Okay.
And that he's worthy of trusting.
Okay.
And the general consensus seems to be that after three, there's not much of a difference between four to 10 or whatever.
Okay.
Would you say that's the general consensus?
I think that is the consensus.
So if that's the consensus, and if you trust Kobe Altman, then doesn't it make sense to trade down with Atlanta, still, especially if you get the 8th pick as part of the package, still get one of those players in that second group and be able to get another first-round pick, have 3 total?
So, all right. The way that I'll put it is like this. From all my conversations, the Atlanta stuff is very, very compelling. But they were pushing 10 and 17. And I just don't think the Cavs want to fall beyond number 8. So if the Cavs could get 8 and 17,
yes,
then I think it's something that probably would appeal to them. Because
That's where they see as the second line of demarcation?
Because here's what I know. They have tiers. So they have a big board, and they have everybody ranked, and Zion's obviously number 1, and then you can probably guess the other ones. But they also have tiers.
Right.
So Zion's in his own tier. Ja Morant, R.J. Barrett is in another tier. And then the third tier has 4 guys.
So why 8?
Darius Garland, because here's why.
Yeah.
Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter, Jarrett Culver, and Cam Reddish is 4. But there are 2 teams drafting before 8 that have a desperate need for a point guard. And that's where a lot of people think Kobe White is going to go.
I see.
So one of those guys could potentially be left over at number 8. It's probably going to be somebody like Cam Reddish. It's all going to depend on how the Cavs feel going into tonight, last minute, about how much of a difference they feel like there is between Cam and the other group.
So you don't think they would take a point guard no matter what? And to that, I would say, if you think the point guard's the best player in this NBA where there's such positionless basketball,
sure,
why couldn't you take another point guard?
No, I think they would consider it. Just like the Cavs were always going to consider Ja Morant if they got number 2, right? They weren't going to say, oh, we've got Colin, so we're going to dismiss Ja.
Right.
They're not saying, we've got Colin, we're going to dismiss Darius Garland. I think there's support in the front office for DeAndre Hunter. I think there's support for Cam Reddish. In fact, one of the members of the front office believes that he's the most talented player in the draft. I think there's support for Jarrett Culver. I think there's a split between Hunter and Culver. And I think there's support for Darius Garland, and John Beeline is very intrigued by the potential of a 2-point guard system. Thinks that would be very, very dangerous for them offensively. So I don't think any of those guys are out of the mix at number 5. If I had to guess right now, I still lean towards Hunter. Because I think he's got more support from the most prominent voices in the organization. But I just don't think they're decided right now. I think it's going to be a case where they want to see who goes number 4 to the Pelicans or whoever trades up with New Orleans.
And that's what I find so fascinating. Because this feels as wide open.
There could be a trade at 3. There could be a trade 4.
Maybe the Knicks surprise us because they've been working out everyone under the sun as well. I don't know. There's so many different things that could happen outside of what we just expected or thought we knew that, you know, hey, it's Zion, it's Ja, and it's R.J. Barrett.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back with more, Chris, we'll talk some trades. What's the scenario that leads to the likeliest chance of the Cavs making a deal? That and more coming up next right here on The Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the Bull and the Fox with you on the Fan. Jonathan in for Dustin today, and Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, is with us as well. We're talking NBA draft. So is this – so I'm thinking, Chris, if Hunter's not there at five.
Okay.
And the Hawks are willing to trade the eighth pick, that's probably – if that scenario plays itself out, are the Cavs actually likely to trade down if it plays out that way? Hunter gone, Hawks willing to give up eight.
Define likely.
A 50-50 shot or better.
I mean, I think sure. Yeah. I think the possibility of them trading back to number eight has always been in the equation.
Any chance they trade up to three with the Knicks?
No, they don't have what it takes. Or let me rephrase.
Yeah.
The things that it would cost them, they feel like would be too much value to move up two spots.
What would it cost them?
I think Colin. I think a future pick.
Colin and a future first.
Colin, a future first, and swap three and five.
Would you do that?
No, I would not. I like R.J. Barrett a lot. I really do. I just don't know that I like him that much more than what the Cavs could get at number five.
That's the point. He's better than Sexton.
I mean,
but he's not better than Sexton and this guy. They're going to get a five.
So if you just put Colin in this draft, not everybody else from last year's draft, but just Colin in the mix with R.J., Zion, Ja, and all this he'd probably go four.
But in fairness, part of that is factoring in what he did as a rookie.
Sure, a little bit. But I think even coming out of Alabama, like last year's draft was stronger than this year's draft. Always.
Or at the very least, he's in the mix for four.
Without question.
At the very least.
Do you think that's why they're so strong or perceived to be so strong on a guy like Hunter, who's not really – he's not much of a go-to guy, but he's someone that then can let Colin flex out a little bit?
I guess. I mean, again, I just think there aren't a lot of guys that come around like DeAndre Hunter. You know, every team in the NBA is looking for that kind of guy. He can guard multiple positions, has an incredible attitude, incredible work ethic, really, really smart, can knock down a standstill three. Like, no, he needs to be better in terms of putting the ball on the deck and creating for himself and creating for others. But again, there just aren't a lot of guys like him that come around. So when you have a chance to get him with that size, with that length, with that skill set, with that defensive acumen, it's hard to pass up on that.
By the way, I just got a bowl of chili. Is that the biggest bowl
of chili?
It's a
massive bowl of chili.
That is massive.
I'm not eating
it. It looks really good, though.
No, I instantly got jealous of that chili.
I'm eating like half of it. I'm not eating that whole thing.
They put it down, and then you look to both of us to be like, hey, anybody want in on this?
Share?
This isn't a dessert where I take a spoon, and you take a spoon, and he takes a spoon.
I could feed a family on this bowl of chili.
That's not happening.
Anyway. I did notice that you waited until it came before then you offered everyone around two, by the way, because if they cheated you on it, be a different
story.
You'd be out of
luck. Right,
I think the hard thing about five, though, guys, is you can talk yourself into any of these guys, and you can talk yourself out of all of them.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, I was supposed to do a column that was like, hey, make a stand for somebody.
Right.
And I called my boss, and I was like, I can't. I'm sorry. I can lay out everything, and I can make an argument for everybody, and I'm willing to do that. But I just don't know how they're going to separate these four guys.
Now, I feel the same way. It's a great point. I was asked to go on radio and do like a mock draft where they go one, two, three, four, five. And I was thinking to myself, all right, when it gets to five, like if, for instance, you know, Hunter goes four or whatever, like if that happens, am I positioned enough to be like, yes, Darius Garland, that's my guy.
Right.
Or yes, Cam Reddish, let me make my case for him. And it's just it's tough.
Yes.
Very tough within this draft. It is.
So when you look at the landscape of this early round, do you think the Knicks will trade out of three?
No.
You think
write that in pen. It's R.J. Barrett.
Do you think the Pelicans will trade out of four?
I do.
And who do you think is most likely to come up there? And is it definitely to take Hunter?
No, I don't think it's definitely to take Hunter. I think it absolutely could be to take Garland.
Okay.
So the Minnesota Timberwolves are sitting at number 11. Derrick Rose is a free agent. Jared Bayless is a free agent. Tyus Jones is a restricted free agent. Jeff Teague is going into the final year of their deal.
Right.
At 11, you're not getting Coby White. You're not getting Darius Garland. So if they feel the need, them moving up from 11 to 4, I think, is a possibility.
Or even the Bulls from 7 to 4.
The Bulls 7 to 4. The Boston Celtics have three picks in the first round. They're sitting at 14. They're about to lose Kyrie, about to lose Al Horford. People that I know in Boston think Darius Garland is a stud, and he is one of the best players in this year's draft. I think Boston potentially has the ammunition to move up to number four. So, look, I think there are a lot of teams that have an interest in moving up that far. I don't think it's only for Hunter. I don't think it's only for Culver. I don't think it's only for Garland. I think it's a mix, and I think it depends on which team is willing to move up.
What veteran player do you think we could see traded here in the next day or two?
Frank Ntilikina.
For the Knicks.
Yeah.
Is he a veteran? I guess at this point. It's been a few years.
I guess.
You don't think there's somebody better than him that'll get traded in the next couple of days?
I feel like we're avoiding the elephant in the room here. I think you just want to ask him, like, Kevin Love, is he going to be traded tonight?
No, that wasn't.
Is that what we're getting at? Like,
I really wasn't thinking in the moment, but it's a good point by you. I wasn't really. I would have just asked him, Kevin Love. Do you think there's any chance Kevin Love gets traded?
Would I be shocked? No. But there are a lot of layers to this. Number one, I think teams will be interested in Kevin. I've said that all along, especially this offseason. I don't think the Cavs are – I don't think they have it on the top of their list of things to do this offseason to trade Kevin. But I think they would do it if they get the right package in return.
So if I don't know. You brought this up before. I don't know why New Orleans would do it. But if New Orleans offered the fourth pick and a little more, would they do it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I could see appetizing, at least how appetizing, picking 4 and 5 in this draft would be.
Sure,
back
they would
to
go
back.
Garland and Hunter.
You go Garland, Hunter, put that with Sexton. That's a good foundation to
bring three good young players, potentially.
Right. They value Kevin. Him wanting to be here matters to them. John Beilein has been watching film all offseason, both of draft prospects and of the Cavs from last year. And midway through, members of the front office said, hey, John, here's the film from February to April. Watch that, because that's who we want to be. That's when Kevin returned from injury. That's who we want to be. That's who we think we can be. And John Beilein's very excited to coach Kevin. Again, if they get blown away by an offer, I think they would move Kevin. I just haven't seen any hypothetical ones that people are proposing that would make sense for the Cavs to move. And if they do, I think their preference would be to get a draft pick in the future. Not another one in this year's draft.
Okay, because when it's a better draft.
Yeah, unless it's 4 plus a young up-and-coming player plus something else or something along those lines.
When you look at – what are the odds that Kevin Love can make it through another season healthy?
I don't know.
Not great,
I mean, you
want
me to bank on something that he hasn't proven. So,
right.
So I would say that the odds are not very good if I'm just going based on his recent track record. And now he's on the wrong side of 30.
Yeah. Making a ton of money.
So it's not great.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing. That's why I hesitate when it comes to trading Kevin now. I think teams are still trying to figure out what they're going to do this offseason, who they're going to be able to get in free agency. Teams have loaded up. They have a bunch of cap space because they're really excited about this free agency class. So I think a lot of those teams are going to want to let it play out, see who they can get, who they can't get. And if they can't get one of those big-name free agents – or one of those all-stars, then I think they're going to go to a team like the Cavs or a bad team that has an all-star that maybe they can pry away that way. I just don't know that people are positioned that way going into the draft tonight.
It's tough. I know it is. Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Have fun tonight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.